Well, it's about 2017 years ago, a baby was born to an unknown mum in a very small and until then really unheard of corner of the world. 2017 years ago, unknown baby, unknown part of the world, and yet, we are still celebrating over 2,000 years later. And the question has got to be why. Why? Why are we still celebrating? Well, I've got two reasons. One, the first reason is this. Jesus is still utterly and brilliantly changing people's lives today. Anyone here aged 5 or 6? Just raise your hand if you are 5 or 6 years old. Fantastic. I've got you especially in mind. Got a little bit of a story I'll come back to the end of the story in a moment. Raise your hand if you've been 5 or 6. Good. I'm speaking to you as well. And hopefully others of you will get to 5 or 6 sooner or later. When I was 5, I had terrible, terrible nightmares. Night after night, I'd wake up crying in my bed. My mum and dad called them the heebie-jeebies. I'll tell you how Jesus changed things in a minute. But a second reason why millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people down the centuries and around the world celebrate Jesus as we do this evening is because he's a rescuer. He's a rescuer, and we love stories of rescue. We love stories about rescuers. So some of us here really love the Paw Patrol. I've never seen the Paw Patrol. I understand that it's a very similar story each time. I understand it's the same story each time. There's Katniss Everdeen, though I know some of you think is fantastic. And of course, Harry Potter. And then there's The Incredibles. I like The Incredibles. And then there's Rey from Star Wars as well. I don't know if you've seen the latest Star Wars movie. I went and watched it last night with a bunch of other guys from church here. These are all very different kinds of rescuers. Wonder what kind of rescuer is Jesus? Our reading that John read just a moment ago from Hebrews said this, the words are coming up on the screen. I've highlighted in blue there with Andrew the key words, just so that as you follow it along, it kind of like will help, I hope, make it clear what God says through his word, the Bible. So follow along what it says with me. Look at the screen. Since therefore the children, highlighted, that is the people of God. That's how the Bible often refers to the people of God as children. Well, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, that is, they are, you know, just pat yourself around a little bit, your flesh. And if you were cut yourself, blood would come out. Basically, that means human being having a body. So since therefore the children have a body, actual physical bodies, he himself, that is Jesus, likewise partook of the same things. That means that there was a time that Jesus existed before he was born, before he had flesh and blood, before he became a human with a body. There was a time when he didn't have those things, but he became human just like you and me. The sentence basically kind of repeats the way this part of the Bible, Hebrews, begins. Jesus is none other than the Son of God. He's the maker of the universe. He's the one who keeps everything going. He sustains the whole lot. He is God. He is God himself, born as a baby, born as a little one with tiny little fingerprints, flesh, and with a blood group, blood. I like the idea of space travel. I like the idea of going to the moon and plans to go to Mars. The astronaut Tim Peake, a picture of him coming up on the screen, is a real hero to lots of us. I know that when he went outside of the Earth into space there, schools around the country, the television, the internet followed his story very, very closely indeed. He's actually a personal hero of mine, because not only did he leave Earth to go into space, he very nearly succeeded in making my name, Tim, cool. It's amazing how much money and effort and energy we spend trying to leave Earth. And at Christmas, we celebrate the astonishing miracle that God himself left heaven and came down to Earth. I wonder if you can imagine Jesus arriving at Earth's passport control. You'll have to imagine it quite a lot in your mind. Name, Jesus. Occupation, God's King, the Christ. Work experience, Creator. Address, heaven. Where will you be staying on earth during your visit? Well, Bethlehem, then Egypt, Nazareth, then around a little bit, and then Jerusalem before departure. How long will you be visiting? About 33 years? What's the purpose of your visit? Business or pleasure? Business. I've come to do business. Well, what was his business? What was his mission? Let's come back to our Bible sentence coming up on the screen there with the highlighted bits, hopefully to help us understand what it says. Have a look and follow along with me on the screen. That through death, so he was born, he became flesh and blood, a human being, that through death. See, that's the reason why he came. He came to die. He couldn't die if he didn't have flesh and blood. The main reason why he took on a body was to die. That through death, that's interesting, isn't it? We celebrate his birth, and this sentence celebrates his birth, but straight away we're already talking about his death. He might destroy, that is, get rid of, the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. The power of death, that's the devil. Now, it's weird, isn't it? Okay, it's weird. It's a Christmas carol service, and here we are talking and thinking about death and thinking about the devil. But listen, this is important. We get at the very heart of Christmas here, so please don't switch off. Keep listening in. The devil is often a figure of fun, especially at Halloween. But the Bible says that the devil is very real. The Bible says that he is the real and active tyrannical dictator who conned the world, tricked the world way back in the beginning in the book of Genesis. He tricked Adam and Eve, and he's tricked everyone else ever since into thinking that God has not got our best interest at heart. He's conned us into thinking that God wants to suppress us and squash us and spoil our lives. So the best thing to do is to ignore him, to reject him, and in actual fact, even better than that, try and do God's job for him, because it's highly likely you can do a better job of God at his job than God, because you have got your own best interests at heart. The devil's trick was this. If you reject God, then you'll be like God, and you really don't want to believe all that stuff that God said about dying if you do try and take over. And humanity believed the devil, because we wanted what the devil said to be true. We wanted God's job. And ever since, we've died. Conned by the biggest bully in the universe's playground, and by our own foolish hearts. But Jesus' mission, the very reason God became a human, was to die in our place and to take upon himself God's understandable anger, God's own anger he took upon himself for rejecting him. As the carol says, Mary, did you know the baby you delivered, the child you delivered, would soon deliver you? Well, what was the result of Jesus' mission? Freedom. Freedom was the result. Look again at our Bible sentence coming up on the screen there. and deliver, that is rescue or save. He came, he was born to die, to rescue, to save all those who through fear of death, and we do fear death, if we're honest, we do all fear death, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That's basically saying the fear of death follows us around all of our lives. We fear the process of dying, and we fear what might come after dying. And if we're wise, there's a sense of uncertainty and fear about God's judgment. The other day I went on WikiHow, and I asked WikiHow this question. How do I overcome the fear of death? Try it yourself. There's lots of advice on there. But you know what? It really all boils down to this. Try not to think about it. Try not to think about it. Think about something else instead. If you think about it a lot and you've got an issue with it, then train your mind, cognitive therapy, to think about other things. Or try and do something that will last beyond your death. That's it. Just hope it will go away. But it won't. It doesn't. So let's come back. Who's here age 5 or 6? Put your hands up again. Who here was 5 or 6? I'm speaking to you. Me, age 5. What made me so frightened that I had the heebie-jeebies? Well, like everyone in this room, and as the Bible says, as we've seen it on the screen, I was frightened of death. And I was especially and particularly frightened of my dad and mum dying. That's why I used to wake up in the middle of the night crying. One night, my dad and mum both sat with me on my bed, and this is what they said. Listen in. Tim, the Lord Jesus came and died for us, so we don't need to fear death anymore. We don't fear God or him being angry with us, because Jesus has died for us. We don't need to be frightened about what happens when we die, because Jesus has risen from death, and everyone who trusts him will also rise from death to live a wonderful, perfect life forever in heaven. Then my dad and mum prayed. And they prayed that I would believe what they had just told me. And God answered their prayers. That was then, and this is now. This year, what used to be my worst nightmare happened. My dad died a few years ago, and in the summer, my mum died too. That's a picture of us. My mum had 5 kids, aged 4 and a half and under, and then a little one on the end, Bethan. I'm at the top near my dad. Take it from me, my brothers and sisters, and we're a bit older than that now, we're all in our 50s. When my mum died, we still all felt like orphans. We did. We had a cousin show up we hadn't seen for a while. Her mum and dad had died as well. She's older than us, and she spoke. She used the word. You feel like orphans. I know how you feel. It is desperately sad. And like many, many other homes, and maybe homes here represented in this room this evening, we will have an empty place at our Christmas table. But the last thing I ever said to my mum was this. See you, mum. And I will. As the carol the carols say, O come, Emmanuel. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer. Our spirit by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds, the gloomy cords of night, and death's dark shadow put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice. And in a moment we'll sing, Hark the herald angels sing. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. And seriously, if you want to know what that means, second birth, I would love to talk to you at the end. Please come and speak to me about that. So let me conclude. Christmas is about being freed by Jesus from the fear of death. So this Christmas, celebrate, eat, drink, tell stories, enjoy giving and receiving gifts. But above all, this Christmas, serve Jesus with your life and trust him with your death. This Christmas, celebrate and seriously and joyfully be free. We're going to sing our final two carols. As our musicians get ready, why don't we stand and be ready to sing Silent Night and Hark the Herald.